China flexes its military might surrounding Taiwan with its largest military drill yet.
The Chinese military's Eastern Theater Command said the drills were a, quote, stern warning to the separatist acts of Taiwan independence forces.
The threats to Taiwan's independence draw condemnation.
We want to reinforce, and many other countries want to reinforce, the imperative of preserving the status quo, and neither party taking any actions that might undermine it.
And the global consequences of a China-Taiwan war.
A conflict in the Taiwan Strait would, present the world with huge economic devastation, some that would make the war in Ukraine and the COVID-19 pandemic look small by comparison.
Today is Monday, October 14th, and this is The Issue from VOA.
I'm Scott Walterman.
And I'm Lori London.
That's a Taiwanese jet fighter taking off in response to a Chinese military exercise, the largest ever around Taiwan. China said the exercise was in response to a speech by Taiwan's president. Taiwan's defense ministry says China used 125 military aircraft in exercises aimed at Taiwan. That's a record for a single day. It says 90 of the aircraft, including warplanes, helicopters, and drones, were spotted within Taiwan's air defense identification zone.
China's foreign minister warning that attempts at Taiwanese independence will be doomed. Here's Reuters correspondent Gabe Singer with some details.
Chinese state media reported that China's Coast Guard circled Taiwan and staged rare operations of, quote, law enforcement patrols close to Taiwan's offshore islands. The Chinese military's Eastern Theater Command said the drills were taking place in the Taiwan Strait and nine areas around the island. The command also said the drills were a, quote, stern warning to the separatist acts of Taiwan independence forces. Taiwan's defense ministry and Coast Guard said Monday that both agencies had dispatched their own forces. Fighter jets were seen taking off and landing at Taiwan's Hsinchu Air Base Monday morning. And Taiwan's Coast Guard released video said to show one of its ships broadcasting a message asking a Chinese Coast Guard vessel to leave its waters. A Taiwan security source said there were no signs of any missile launches. Democratically governed Taiwan, which China views as its own territory, had been on alert for more war games since last week's National Day speech by President Lai Ching-te. Lai's address was condemned by Beijing after he said China had no right to represent Taiwan, even as he offered to cooperate with Beijing. China's Eastern Theater Command released propaganda video Monday, which showed a cartoon caricature of Lai with pointed ears like a devil. Taiwanese officials said Lai's National Security Council convened on Monday to discuss the situation. The council's Secretary General, Joseph Wu, said that Taiwan would not escalate the conflict.
We also need to stay calm and confident to prevail in the struggle between democracy and authoritarianism. We will stay moderate and responsible and work hard to maintain the cross-strait status quo to help maintain peace and stability in the region.
A senior Taiwan security official speaking to Reuters on condition of anonymity said they believed China was practicing blockading Taiwanese ports and international shipping lanes, as well as repelling the arrival of foreign forces. In Washington, officials from the administration of U.S. President Joe Biden said there was no justification for the drills.
That was Reuters correspondent Gabe Singer.
Monday's actions follow U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken's comments Friday on the final day of the ASEAN summit in Laos.
What was also striking, again, is almost across the board, the strong desire for all of the ASEAN countries, and this extends well beyond ASEAN, but the countries in the room to see that peace and stability is maintained across the Taiwan Strait.
A series of recent violent confrontations between China and the Philippines, as well as Vietnam, have fueled concerns that China's increasingly aggressive actions in the sea could spiral into a full-scale conflict.
Oh boy, Scott, that's all the world needs is one more full-scale conflict.
And this has been building for a long time.
It's interesting because, we're just weeks away from a presidential election, and it's hard to say what will happen depending on who the next president of the United States is and how they will handle this situation. And you know,
you're not wrong. What we do, what the United States does in case China attacks Taiwan is essentially up to the president of the United States, whomever that might be at the time.
Let's talk to an expert. Joining us now to get some perspective is David Sachs, fellow for Asia Studies with the Council on Foreign Relations.
Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
So do you see this as an escalation by China?
In short, yes, because I think the consensus among analysts, including myself, was that Lai took a step back from his inauguration and his double 10 speech was fairly restrained. There was nothing really new on cross-strait relations. He repeated positions that have been well known amongst the DPP for a long time and those voiced by his predecessor, Tsai Ing-wen. And yet China's response was in some ways even above what it did after his inauguration in May. Yes, it looks like the military exercises may only last for one day and may be over. But in terms of the sophistication of the exercises, as well as the use of China's Coast Guard in these exercises, there are some things that you could argue are even qualitatively, an escalation over what we saw in May. So I think the real issue here is that there seems to be less and less of a link between words and actions in Taipei and words and actions in Beijing.
What does China want? Is it's not just dominance as a superpower. And also, why is Taiwan important to America?
Yeah, well, that is a big, big question. So, you know, I think that we could debate what China wants as a superpower, whether its ambitions are truly global or more regional, whether it seeks to displace the United States or whether it seeks to be a peer to the United States. I think those are all live questions and up for debate. But as it relates to Taiwan, I don't really see much debate. And I think that the Chinese are quite clear about what they want. They want to govern Taiwan. They want to rule over the island indefinitely. They view it, the Chinese Communist Party views it, as a piece of its territory that was lost and that should be recovered. This is a major part of their national narrative. This is something that they talk about as being one of the few, if not the last, remaining vestiges of what they refer to as the century of humiliation. And the leader of China, Xi Jinping, has said that unification with Taiwan is the essence of China's rejuvenation, which he has said must be accomplished by 2049, the 100th anniversary of the founding of the People's Republic of China. So, you know, in sum, Taiwan is a core part of the narrative that the Chinese Communist Party has put together since it came to power. And they don't mince words about it. They want to rule over Taiwan and they seek unification. In their view, the question is how and when it is brought about. As for the United States and our interests, I think that first of all, given Taiwan's role in the global economy, regardless of whether or not the United States chooses to defend Taiwan, a conflict in the Taiwan Strait would, you know, present the world with huge economic devastation, some that would make the war in Ukraine and the COVID-19 pandemic look small by comparison. Some estimates are that a war in the Taiwan Strait would shave up to $10 trillion off of global GDP. So that's roughly, I believe, around 10% of global GDP. A lot of this is rooted in the amount of trade that transits the Taiwan Strait, but also Taiwan's dominance of semiconductors, which go into everything from phones, computers, and automobiles to microwaves and dishwashers. So, you know, America has a large economic stake in deterring Chinese aggression in the Taiwan Strait. Beyond that, you know, I think that we should be clear as well that Taiwan is an important partner of the United States, has been an important partner for decades now. And if you look at it geographically as well, Taiwan is at the center of the first island chain, which goes down from Japan through the island of Taiwan and the Philippines. We're talking about all either formal U.S. treaty allies or close partners in the case of Taiwan. That allows the United States to have enormous influence in arguably the world's most important region. And it also bottles up China's military to a large degree as well. So if China were to station military forces on Taiwan, it would threaten two U.S. treaty allies, Japan and the Philippines, also allow China's military to project power much farther afield. And in my view, if China annexes Taiwan and the United States does nothing about it, I think that it would raise serious questions in Japan, South Korea, Australia, and the Philippines about the reliability of the United States and whether they should do things to take their own security into their hands, potentially developing nuclear weapons, pursuing a much larger degree of strategic autonomy, all of which is a recipe for diminished U.S. influence in this region. And the final thing that I'll put on the table is that, you know, Taiwan is a like-minded democracy. It is, by many measures, the most robust democracy in Asia. And that would be extinguished if China were to gain Taiwan through coercion or the use of force, and also undermine a pillar of international order, which is that borders cannot be changed unilaterally and through force.
That is one of the couple of things that you said that sort of parallel with Ukraine. And we've seen this slow up ramp by China as it relates to Taiwan. Do you think that they are sort of seeing how far they can push the envelope each time they try something new to see how much they can get away with?
I think so. I think that, you know, Beijing so far has concluded that the costs of this type of aggression do not outweigh the benefits. So there hasn't really been a cost imposition strategy from the United States, Taiwan, and other allies and partners of ours that shape its calculus. And so here, though, I would make it broader and talk also about, you know, Chinese pressure on the Philippines, which is a formal U.S. ally in the South China Sea. We also see Chinese pressure on the Senkaku Islands that are claimed by Japan in the East China Sea. And we see this activity occurring, you know, across the region. So, you know, I think that Beijing does believe that it has a higher tolerance for risk and for potential escalation. And it is willing to probe and see, you know, where it meets pushback and where it kind of can just keep going further and further. So, you know, it has changed the status quo, so to speak, in the Taiwan Strait multiple times over the last 8+ years or so, and it's going to continue to do it. I think it'll continue to be opportunistic, look for times and places that it can exploit, just like this routine speech given every year by Taiwan's president to mark the National Day was, you know, seized as an opportunity for China to now again change the status quo.
Scott mentioned Ukraine and sort of the parallels here. Do you think China is also potentially looking to see what happens with Russia's invasion and if it's successful in Ukraine? And likewise, could this, if China were to invade Taiwan, could it also backfire on them and be detrimental to Beijing?
Yeah, so for the first part of your question, I mean, I don't think that China is timing a potential use of force against Taiwan relative to what Russia is doing in Ukraine. So I don't believe that if Russia is successful, that will necessarily speed up China's timeline. And if it's unsuccessful, that means that China will never use force against Taiwan. But what I do think China is doing clearly is it's studying very carefully what lessons from the war in Ukraine it should apply. And that will make it stronger and more resilient in a potential conflict over Taiwan. So we see China redoubling efforts to make itself, you know, less susceptible to sanctions and less dependent on imported goods from the United States and the West. We see it doubling down on, you know, making itself self-reliant in critical areas so that it can weather those sanctions and potentially a trade blockade during a conflict. We also see, you know, it looking at the nuclear dimension, in my view, and China is now embarked on, you know, one of the largest peacetime nuclear buildups that we've seen.
in my view, because they've concluded that this could play a decisive role in deterring outside intervention in a conflict over Taiwan. So we do see China, you know, learning various lessons from the war in Ukraine and applying them. Now, the second part of your question was about could an invasion backfire? I mean, absolutely. You know, China is a very powerful country, has spent, you know, billions and billions of dollars modernizing its military and trying to develop a viable military option for Taiwan. But at the same time, it's not a slam dunk that it can achieve its objectives. It would be an incredibly difficult military undertaking for China, likely in the face of stiff resistance from Taiwan and potentially even the United States and other allies and partners. So this could backfire in a huge way. It could be a major miscalculation. I think that for Xi Jinping and the leadership around China, what has deterred it from acting so far is the understanding that the cost would be incredibly high and it would fundamentally stand in the way of further Chinese economic modernization because of the sanctions that it would face and the trade block and things like that. But, you know, if Xi Jinping and the leadership can overcome that, and they believe that the costs are going to be tolerable and they don't really need the West for continued modernization, then I think that does change the deterrence picture here.
Can you talk a little bit about how it relates to the realignment of the alliance between Russia and North Korea and China?
Yeah, so, you know, one striking thing that we've seen since the war in Ukraine is that Russia has explicitly endorsed China's so-called One China principle, which states that Taiwan is a part of the People's Republic of China. So, you know, one of the things that Russia has provided to China in exchange for the assistance it has gotten in the war in Ukraine is that rhetorical support over Taiwan. And also we've seen heightened joint China-Russia military exercises in the vicinity of Taiwan, but also even as close as Alaska. I think trying to send a signal to the United States that there is the potential that Russia would intervene during a conflict over Taiwan or would provide some level of support to China during a conflict over Taiwan. So we see increased cooperation between the two on this front. And I think that what's most concerning at this point, potentially to the United States, is also that China is going to get a lot of military technical cooperation from Russia on things like submarines or missiles in exchange for its help in the war in Ukraine. And that, of course, would also make China more militarily formidable in the Taiwan Strait. So we do see increasing cooperation and coordination here. I don't think that there's necessarily, you know, an alliance like we have with our allies. I don't think that they're necessarily, you know, really acting in coordination per se, but they all are animated by a shared animus towards the United States and the U.S.-led order and are willing to, you know, work together to try to undermine that.
If it were to happen that, you know, China actually crossed over to another level, would loss of life on Taiwan's side lead to military escalation with the U.S.?
You know, I mean, that ultimately is up to the president of the United States. I mean, we do not have a treaty obligation to defend Taiwan under the Taiwan Relations Act, which was passed by Congress in 1979 and then signed into law. The United States maintains the capacity to militarily resist Chinese aggression against Taiwan. And the Taiwan Relations Act also states that Chinese aggression against Taiwan would be a major concern to the United States. So presumably you would have some kind of consultation between Congress and the executive branch if there was a kinetic confrontation between China and Taiwan. But ultimately it's up to the discretion of the president whether to intervene and at what level, whether it's direct military intervention or providing you know, military and other assistance to Taiwan, but choosing not to intervene. You know, President Biden has on four times said that he would defend Taiwan. So it is really up to that person what, you know, what he or she would decide.
Mm. David, thanks so much for the time.
Sure. Thanks for reaching out.
That was David Sachs, fellow for Asia Studies at the Council on Foreign Relations. Thanks so much.
A lot to think about there, and a lot to consider in terms of this would impact, as you heard David say, virtually everyone in the world.
Right. You know, the world is so interconnected now, obviously, economically and with trade and, of course, just freedom of movement even.
Well, and the number of, you remember what it was like in the pandemic when there was a shortage of chips. As he was saying, this could disrupt that globally.
Yep. Lots to consider here. And it's, you know, it's not on the major radar of everybody's mind because there's so much else going on in the world, but definitely something to watch. And we will obviously be keeping an eye on it as well.
You are not wrong. You've been listening to The Issue from the Voice of America.
On behalf of all of us here at VOA, thanks so much for spending some time with us.
Follow The Issue on X and Facebook at VOA The Issue. And for news 24/7, go to our website, voanews.com.
In Washington, I'm Lori London.
And I'm Scott Walterman.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.